May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 643. Again, dear Lord, we would be fed. We come to seek for living bread and feast on love divine. Dear Father, let thy presence be enjoyed by all thy family and make each face to shine. Hymn 643.
Thank you. read together from the prophecy of Isaiah, reading chapters 52, 53 and 54. The prophecy of Isaiah, reading chapters 52, 53 and 54. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord. And my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, depart ye. Go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rearward. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations, and kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. Then the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. More are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stake. Thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Neither be thou confounded, thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth. Then shalt remember the reproach of thy, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. The Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. As I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor for rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee, O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted. Behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colours, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Dear Lord, help us now as we would attempt to approach thee. Oh, leave us not, gracious God, to a form of words, but oh, may the desires of our heart come up before thee. And dear Lord, we pray that thou would use the foolishness of preaching even this night in the hearts of the people, that thy holy word might be sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder in the heart. Oh, gracious God, we seek thee. Work of thy Holy Spirit, that which shall work and bring sinners to Christ, that which shall open the heart and reveal, Lord, those solemn iniquities that abound within, that which will bring to sorrow and mourning. Read in thy word, for he hath borne our grief. and carried our sorrow. Dear Lord, we pray that there may be some solemn griefs in the congregation tonight, some bitter sorrow over sin and ungodliness, and Lord, the past, that thou wouldst bring poor sinners to thy mercy seat as beggars, to do business with thee in deep waters, that there may, Lord, be a cry, oh, look down, thou knowest, in this congregation this evening, where there is a cry, a need, felt and known, where there is a hunger and a thirst after thy righteousness, where there are those, Lord, who by thy work have been made to feel poor in spirit, humbled in the dust, and brought down at thy mercy seat in sincerity and truth with that simple prayer, Lord, help me. Undertake for me, said thy dear servant Hezekiah, as he faced eternity, I am oppressed. Lord, thou knowest where there are those this night who are oppressed, who walk under a cloud. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst give grace to be still and know that thou art God, to see that all events are at thy command, that our times are in thy hand, and Lord, thou doest as thou wilt with thine own among the armies of heaven, the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay thy hand or say unto thee, what doest thou? And yet we know, dear Lord, thou dost move in a mysterious way thy wonders to perform. Dost plant thy footsteps in the sea and ride upon the storm. Gracious God, we pray once again that thou would sanctify affliction. Oh, may there be profit in them. Profit to the never-dying soul, that, Lord, there may be a sweet communing with thee in the valley and in the pathway. The Lord, we read in thy holy word, we are weak with him. And Lord, thou didst walk that pathway thyself here below, the pathway of suffering, sorrow, that bitter cup thou didst speak of. Be possible, let this cup pass from me. And how many of thy dear children have said that. But, dear Lord, thou dost give solemn thorns in the flesh, that we may be brought to dependence upon thee and prove the nature of what thy dear servant the apostle learned when he said, when I am weak, then am I strong. Gracious God, thou wouldst empty the vessel, take away the strength, and grant thy strength. Never is the vessel more ready to receive of thy fullness than when it is emptied from vessel to vessel. And Lord, that we know is the pathway of thy dear people. And so, Lord, we pray for that grace, that we may, like thy apostle, most gladly therefore, he said, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Look down, we ask thee, upon this church and congregation as we gather here this night. Lord, we commend them to thee and pray for their deacons in office, that they will support, sustain, hear their prayers. We pray for thy servants as they labour here in this pulpit from time to time. Lord, that thou wouldst anoint them, that there may be a feeding beneath this vine. And, O Lord, that thy will may be done, thy work carried on, and that, Lord, there may be a building up in the church, the movements of thy Spirit may be manifested, and there may be, Lord, that joy here in the sanctuary of God that there is in heaven over one sinner that repented. Remember thy sent servants in the midst this night. Dear Lord, they alone know the burden of the word of the Lord, the weakness felt and known within, as they stand between the living and the dead. The gracious God, we thank thee that thou hast ordained the foolishness of preaching. Oh, how we see such a blessedness in it, as in the wisdom of God. Man, by wisdom, knew not God, so it pleased him, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. Dear Lord, we pray that thou wouldst bless the foolishness of preaching through the lips of thy servants, for thy gospel is not foolish, but, O Lord, thou hast ordained that all the glory shall be thine. And so, Lord, we pray for thy servants this night as they stand up in thy holy name. Grant thy presence in the sanctuary of God. Grant that their lips may be touched the live coal from thy heavenly altar. Grant that unction and dew of the Holy One may be known in the midst, and thy people may be fed and strengthened in their most holy faith. Come, we beseech thee, and work in Zion. For thou hast said regarding thy church, ye are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that ye should walk in them. Lord, we pray that thy love and thy mercy may be known in the hearts of thy exercised family. Lord, that maybe it may be a humbling in the dust, but there may be a sweetness in thy word. There may be a softening of hard hearts, that there may be a mourning over ourselves and after thee. O gracious God, thy work, we pray for it, that in these dark and solemn times thou wouldst come once again and pour out thy Spirit upon the ministry of thy holy word. We pray, Lord, that as we see many of thy servants passing and have passed the allotted span of life, that thou wouldst work and raise up and equip and send forth other labourers into thy vineyard. Gracious God, we thank thee thou hast in recent years sent others out into that blessed work. And Lord, we pray that thou would send still more, those in whose heart lies the exercise of the ministry. Lord, if there are any here this night, we pray that they may be given grace to wait thy time. But, O dear Lord, when that time shall come, and thou dost say, go, work in my vineyard, then may they be given grace to obey. The Lord, we have proved in our own path what it has been to walk in the steps of thy servant Moses. And Lord, we know that thou dost require implicit obedience. And dear Lord, we pray that thou wouldst send thy servants, that, Lord, they may know that blessed call to the work and be brought to go forth in thy holy name and say, here I am, send me. For how shall they preach except they be sent? And Lord, we pray when thou dost send thy servants, that they may dip their foot in the oil of the gospel and be made acceptable to the brethren. O gracious God, teach by thy Spirit, we pray thee, that there may be a discerning people who shall feed upon the word and be strengthened with all might in the inner man. Gracious God, we pray for fruit to attend the labours of thy servants. O come and work in Zion. May there be, Lord, that union, fellowship, one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There, Lord, is the only true fellowship in thyself. We have fellowship, we read with him. We have fellowship one with another. Dear Lord, look down and come by thy Spirit. Grant that union and communion in the churches, that oneness in the bonds of the gospel. O deliver from that solemn religion that has a name to live and is dead, that which, like the foolish virgins, they carried a lamp, they went to the same place at the same time, they had the same hope, but Lord, there was no oil in their lamp. Oh, we pray, there may be that blessed oil in our lamp, the gracious God, we may come in that solemn hour when the bridegroom shall come, we may be found ready. For we read solemnly, they that were ready went in, and the door was shut. Oh, come and work in this congregation this night. Grant an exercise and a concern. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? The heaven of thy credentials sure is Jesus Christ, thy only plea. Is he thy great forerunner there? For all thy dear people in sickness and affliction, we remember them before thee. O thou seest their needs. And dear Lord, when thou dost lay affliction upon our loins, oh, we prove again and again that it is in mercy. Lord, that we might be brought away from that cold, carnal death, which so often is our pathway, and be separated from the things of this world. And thou dost say, come up ye apart and rest a while. O Lord, they are blessed places, thou knowest, when we rest in thy love and mercy. Look down, we pray thee, once again we commend our nation and all its godlessness to thee. Gracious God, we live in those solemn times which thy holy word speaks of. The love of many shall wax cold. For you come to thy solemn feast. There has come a great falling away. Men are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Knowledge has increased. Many go to and fro throughout the earth. The signs of the times are all about us. But Lord, thou hast a tiny remnant in the land. We pray thou wouldst hear their cries. You are the Queen and the royal household, Prime Minister's cabinet, our Parliament, oh, preserve to us our national sovereignty. Preserve to us our Protestant Reformed heritage and constitution. Preserve to us our liberties of worship and freedom of speech. Lord, we see these solemn clouds of persecution rising about us. And Lord, we see Satan going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The gracious God, we pray, thou wouldst have mercy on this once favoured land. Turn us again, and we shall be turned. Lord, turn us once again to thy holy word, to thy holy law, to thy holy day, to thyself. And now, Lord, we seek thou wouldst come, make one with us in the midst this night. Grant a door of utterance, that our lips with the light cold and thy heavenly altar fill our earthen vessel. Grant grace and wisdom rightly to divide thy word, and send down thy Spirit, we beseech thee, to apply the word in the hearts of the hearers. O grant a hearing ear, a heart to receive the truth, and may there be a divine benefit and blessing in it, as we lay all at thy dear feet and ask these mercies and favours with the pardon of every sin, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 589. A beggar, vile and base, I come, without a friend, without a home, and knock at mercy's door. A friendless, helpless wretch indeed, nor have I one good work to plead, yet crave a living store. Hymn 589.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help, I direct your attention this evening to the prophecy of Isaiah, reading from chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. Prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 53, reading verses 4 and 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we're healed. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We have before us this evening a mourning people and a suffering Saviour. Oh, what is it to be a mourner? What does the Lord do in the hearts of his dear people to bring them into the place that is spoken of here? For this is the pathway of God's dear people, borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The Lord came here to walk out himself the path of suffering and sorrow. He wept in this earth. He knew the path of temptation. He knows and understands and enters in to the pathway of his dear people. They mourn over themselves, over their heart. This is the work of God's Spirit, to bring us down at his mercy seat, grieved with our fallen, sinful nature. What do you know of such mourning before God? And when we try, as often we do, in our own strength, to improve things, oh, how miserably we fail, and learn again and again, more and more, of the weakness, the inability to cease from sinning. Learn more and more the solemnity of that awful sin of unbelief. We cannot trust our God. We can find no rest. Why do you think the pages of Scripture are full of fear nots? I tell you this, because the Lord's dear people need them. Weak in themselves, in thee they're strong. And you know there's another aspect of God's dear people's grieving. I spoke of Peter here this afternoon. But you know, he grieved. Why? That he had grieved a Saviour. that he denied him with oaths and curses. He went out in bitter grief and wept, we're told, bitterly. And what a place that is for God's dear people to be brought down on their knees, weeping at his mercy seat, and to be a mourner. He, a mourner, walked this earth, and his dear people are brought by the Spirit, how vital this is, to mourn over themselves and after him. And here the prophet, under divine inspiration, speaks out of the hearts and experience of the church of God. And it is the intervention of the Lord himself in the hearts of his mourning people that leads them to have such a sight that he has borne their griefs and carried their sorrows, that he knows the path that they take, whether it be in brokenness and contrition of heart over their sins, or whether it be in some great blow in their life, some huge cross that all has brought upon them, some terrible bereavement, some bitter affliction that brings them down and humbles them. They learn that he comes just where they are and lifts them in the midst of their griefs. Oh, when the Lord works and moves in that mysterious way, as he did in the life of his dear servant Job. Oh, he worked to bring him to be a mourner. And he was tearing from him, tearing out those things in his life and in his heart, that confidence. The Lord would remove it, that empty profession, and he would bring him in mourning, grief. One of the great sorrows of Job was, oh, that I knew where I might find him. Find him he did, and learnt what it was for the Lord to bear his sorrow. There's a lovely hymn in our book, very precious to me. Endless blessings on the Lamb. Broken hearts repeat the same. His dear heart was broken too when he bore the curse for you. Your dread crimes once pierced his heart, sang his soul in awful smart, but his sin atoning blood now procures your peace with God. And when the Lord comes into a heart full of sorrows, feeling the hand of God has touched them, feeling deep conviction of sin, feeling like Jacob, they have nothing to say when he fought at Jabbok and wrestled with his God. Then to enter into sweet communion with him, as he did, and know that in spite of all his sins, all the years that lay behind, which now caused him grief and sorrow, to suddenly realize that his God had appeared and borne his griefs and carried his sorrow, understood the path that he was in, and come in rich, unmerited, undeserved favour to bless his dear servant in his soul. And when the Lord, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, it's not as though the prophet were looking into the future. He's speaking of his own experience. And I say to you here tonight, you who know the Lord, what do you understand? Has he borne your griefs and carried your sorrows? Has he come just where you are? Oh, how sweet that word was to me many years ago, when most, in a hour of great darkness and sorrow and temptation, when most, we need his helping hand. The Lord speaks in our sorrow. As I read that a chapter here tonight, my mind goes back over 20 years. The mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Oh, when the Lord spoke that into my heart, lifted up, I proved what it was. The sorrow I was in at the time, trembling under it, but the mighty God of Jacob, oh, to prove that blessed mind and be able to speak as the prophet does here, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The Lord walked this earth. His incarnation here below, he came here to walk out the footsteps of the flock. And now in heaven, he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And in that way, he stoops into our footsteps and we feel his presence and know that he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And equally, God's discerning people, as they view his incarnation and look at it, they see the great truth and the doctrine that lies here. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. There is redemption accomplished on Calvary's cross, and this is the root of it. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Yes, on Calvary's cross, that was the pathway he walked. What a mystery it is that he should walk that pathway for his dear church. But you know, he loved them. He says, greater love hath no man. The man should lay down his life for his friends. And ye, my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you, that is a work of God's Spirit, to command and to call his dear people into obedience. It is the work of grace that brings them there. But we see here the path he walked. And why? Well, in this prophecy, we read of it. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. This was the pathway he walked of suffering sorrows, that his dear church might reach glory. Sin could be put away in no other manner. We read in Scripture that God is just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. And the pathway the Lord walked, and the church views it here. We did esteem him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. This was the way of salvation for God's dear people. Here was the only way that the Lord could raise them, to glory and deliver them from themselves and bring them to be with him where he is. When the Lord teaches and brings us to view that solemn scene at Calvary, an incarnate Son of God offered himself a sacrifice for sin. The Apostle Paul, and we have preached from it over the weekend, but the Apostle Paul speaks here in this ninth chapter. The blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, satisfies to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And the apostle goes on to speak of this, of the will of God in Christ, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And then again, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctify. You know, it is as the Lord works to reveal that precious truth in the hearts of his dear children that they are given this precious understanding that the church speaks of here. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. They saw what was happening, that he was offering himself a sacrifice for sin on Calvary's cross according to the will of his Father. It was that divine purpose and provision for salvation. And the church sees it. God's dear people see that dear Saviour, stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. Oh, then they're drawn to that precious place. There they know by divine revelation is their only hope of heaven. To be found in union with the Lamb, from condemnation free. The hymn writer says, the saints from everlasting were and shall forever be. And they look to him. As we read, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our hope, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down on the right hand of God. Consider him. Oh, this is what the church is doing here in this word tonight. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Oh, the precious truth that lay here. Yes, he was stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But our text goes on. There was a purpose in it. He shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. And there was a blessed purpose here. The church goes further and comes, as we speak and spoke this afternoon, who his own self bore our sins in his own body to the tree. The church goes further here in this precious revelation. One, I believe, of the parts of the scripture on the road to Emmaus when the Lord opened to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Blessed sermon, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. And here we have this precious truth. The church, enabled by the Spirit of God in the revelation of Christ as her Saviour, to come into this confession and say, he was wounded for our transgressions. A mourning soul, the true mourner, mourning over themselves and their own sin, and this for a lifetime. Always a mourner, grieved, thinking often of the past and their sinful, fallen, rebellious nature, and knowing the longer they live in this earth, what their heart is like. No progressive sanctification for them. Oh, if any know anything of their own hearts, they will know, as life goes on, how deep is the iniquity that lies within. Kept, no doubt, from outward sin, but oh, the heart. We put on our best clothes, and we come into the sanctuary of God. And we do not see each other's hearts. But if we are a child of God, we know our own heart. And it grieves us. And the older we get, and look back to the days of our unregeneracy, and I do often, I look back with deep sorrow. The hypocrisy, the rebellion, the double-dyed sins, and all through life, no different, kept when the Lord calls us, not always though, from outward sin. The Lord called Peter, but he fell. He called David, but he fell. So we might go on. But you know, grief. Oh, do you know it? Blessed grief. To mourn over ourselves and after him. And more blessed to come to this place where there has been an olive in godly sorrow and repentance and confession, when the Lord has drawn near to us in our hearts, broken our hearts, brought us to his mercy seat, to pour out our heart before him and to weep at his mercy seat and to confess. Oh, it is the mourner, the broken and contrite heart that David speaks of in the 51st Psalm, that confesses before his throne and longs to pour out everything, keep nothing back, desiring that the Lord would pardon all their sins and bring them into this precious place, be able to say, he was wounded for our transgressions. You know, there will be in it mourning over him. There will indeed. An entrance, as the Lord reveals it to us, into his sorrows. He was a man of sorrows, we read here, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Oh, how true that is. Then, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Oh, when the Lord enables us to pour out our hearts before him and to plead that blood which did for sin atone, and then to know it applied in our souls. Oh, the sweetness of it. That is the place that is spoken of here this evening. The Lord, when he washed his dear disciples' feet, he said to them, "You're clean." Peter said, "Has you never washed my feet?" He said to Peter, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." He said, "Not only my feet, Lord, but my hands and my head." He that is washed. He is not saved to wash his feet, and is clean every whit. And then he added this, "And ye are clean." A later chapter, I believe the 15th of John, he says, "Ye are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you." Oh, has the Lord spoken a word unto you? Why, when he speaks with almighty power in the souls of his dear children, their sins are gone. What we spoke of this afternoon is, "Walked in, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is peace-speaking blood. When it is applied, it brings peace with it. He was wounded. What a sight his dear church has for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. We read, as we quoted this afternoon, of the revelation of God's goodness to Moses, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Oh, how the Lord forgives, bruised for our iniquity. We are born in sin, we're told in God's word, and shapen in iniquity. And when we are brought to know it, oh, how we are brought down before him to plead that blood which did for sin atone, to say, "Wash me," as the psalmist did, "and I shall be whiter than snow. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean." It is the mourner that Jesus spoke of in his Sermon on the Mount. "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the poor in spirit." These are the ones who are blessed in God's eyes. These are the ones who come to the cross at Calvary. They have nothing to bring. They come empty-handed. And this is the sacred treatment they receive, a sight of this truth, that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And then the prophet goes on, "The chastisement of our peace was upon him." That is, the chastisement that produced our peace, that chastisement was upon him. His chastisement, the path of suffering that he walked, was the avenue to the peace of God's dear people. Oh, that heavenly peace. When God's dear people, under the application of that atoning blood that flowed from his wounds at Calvary, that precious blood that Peter speaks of, that fountain that was open for sin and all uncleanness, touches the heart with power and life, and there is raised up a hope. Condemnation is removed, and there is a knowledge of the efficacy of the blood of Jesus Christ in our hearts. And we shall need it again and again in life's pathway. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And then this, with his stripes, we're healed. The solemn nature of the wounds of sin. Oh, what do we know of it? The leprosy of sin. Why, when God works in the hearts of his dear children, that there's life. Oh, how sin wounds bring sorrow and pain and the chastening hand of our God. The Lord deals in love and mercy. The sword never left David's house. Jacob sowed deceit in the deception of his dear father, but he reaped it in the house of Laban, and he reaped it from his 11 sons. He sowed, and for years he was reaping what he'd sown, and that was chastening. The Lord had never left him and never would leave him, but the hand of chastisement was upon him, and he knew it. Oh, the wounds of sin. And when eventually he knew that Joseph was yet alive, oh, that word that flowed from his heart, he said, it's enough. It's enough. God has been working in my heart. And when he blessed Ephraim and Manasseh in the presence of Joseph, the Lord that redeemed me from all evil. He spoke of that precious blood of Christ, that redemption, the price, his own, Christ's own heart's blood. But he could see, and you know, his stripes were healed. Sin is put away forever. Leprosy is healed. Not that we haven't got our fallen natures to the grave, but the guilt of iniquity, transgression and sin. Oh, how his dear people know the truth of this text here tonight. And as mourners before their God, they must ever return to his mercy seat again and again, all throughout life's journey, right down to a dying bed. They must come, and do come, back to that place that they have known, and return to that same Jesus, and plead that same precious blood which was shed on Calvary's cross, and are able to say, he was wounded for our transgressions, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. to enter glory. We must be able to say that. I say to you young ones here tonight, young in the way that you may be, and you may well be, like I remember many years ago, before the Lord led me into these deep truths, sitting and listening to one of the Lord's servants preaching on this subject, and I left the chapel in deep sorrow and said within my heart, Lord, I know nothing about it. I was bitterly grieved. But on that doorstep of that chapel, the Lord spoke into my heart, every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood. You may not know the depths in your heart tonight of these precious truths, but has the Lord heard and answered one of your prayers? It may be in providence, but remember this, every grace. Oh, has the Lord shown? Yes, I did have one or two answers at that time. I had a little hope that I knew something of that precious blood of Christ. Every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood. But I wouldn't leave you there, you young ones. I say to you, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that you may be enabled to say, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. I had a case about 5 years ago of a young Dutch friend taken suddenly at the age of 35 with cancer. And he lay for 6 months. And he was in agony of soul. He constantly cried out, my sins, my sins. 2 days before he died, the Lord appeared and spoke this precious word into his heart. With his stripes, we're healed. And he said to his father, I can go now. Oh, how precious to know that sin put away with the precious blood of Christ, then it will be peace in a dying hour. Then there will be a solid rock. Many may sing that hymn, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, but oh, how different to actually stand there and have a heart washed in that glorious fountain. Well, could the Apostle Peter speak of the precious blood of Christ? I've said it this afternoon, I say it this evening. He had a measure. Have you got a measure of the blood of Jesus Christ? Invaluable blood. Here is the rest of God's dear church. And here is the ability to sing that glorious anthem above, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That is done here below, and that enables a poor sinner to sing that anthem here above. Where do you stand tonight? Oh, have you a desire? Is it your earnest desire? Do you say with dear Job, oh, that I knew where I might find him. I would come even to his footstool. And then he came. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another's eyes, though my reins, that is my strength, be consumed within me. Blessed strength of a dying sinner to be resting on this sure foundation, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen.
The collections today are for our Needy Cases Fund. Let us close with hymn 902. Let him who thirsts for heavenly joys come unto me, the Saviour cries, and drink at my spring head. Leave all your boasting self behind, for from the Saviour you shall find a glorious life indeed. Hymn 902.
Thank you.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with you each. Amen.